So let us be still together as we prepare to worship God. From the psalmist. I will praise you, Lord. You have turned my sorrow into joyful dancing. No longer am I sad and wearing sackcloth. I thank you from my heart, and I will never stop singing your praises, my Lord and my God. So we join together to sing The Lord's My Shepherd and the Stuart Townend version. Richard, I'm right in thinking that's one of our recordings, isn't it? Yeah. And so it's really great, isn't it? You can hear Nigel singing the part of the Heavenly Choir. It's good. Yeah. So let's pray. God of all, as a crowd, as a church, as a community, as a family, we come together in our separateness. We gather with you. We reach out to you, for you are the one who gives us grace and healing. And we pray for your help for those challenges in our lives, for your guidance where we have barriers to overcome. We adore you for your incredible life-changing love that shapes who we are and who we could become. And we thank you for the stories in the scriptures that we're going to hear today of a woman in the crowd who is called a daughter and parents who are given back their beloved child. We thank you that you are God who cares enough to heal those that others would consider unclean and cares enough to ensure that a fragile child is fed. That you are God who is mighty in power and yet gentle. God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Comfort. And we adore you. But we confess, for the times when we have allowed prejudice to distance us from those that you would draw close to, forgive us. We bring the times when we've been too proud to ask for help, when we've been too distracted to help other people, forgive us. We acknowledge that there have been times when we've been quick to judge those that we don't easily identify with. And we've ignored those whose plight we haven't taken to heart. Forgive us. Lord, we thank you that you are God whose desire is to have loving relations with us. So forgive us that which we've done that is wrong, and help us to step out in thankfulness. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Sally, would you lead us?
Good morning, everybody. Morning. Hi. In a moment, I'm going to ask Richard to play us a song, and it's a song about the gospel reading today, which I'd not heard it before, but I really liked it when I heard it, and I thought that's what I want to play to the congregation on Sunday, and I'm going to give you something very practical to think about whilst you listen to it. But before I do, I just want, just think with me for a moment. I want you to think about if you live with other people, think about the people that you live with. Just name them in your head before God. And now I want you to think about your family, your close family who don't live with you. They live a bit further away. Just name them. And now I want you to think about your best friend or best friends, maybe. Maybe you've got more than one. And thinking a bit wider, think about your acquaintances and friends of friends, people you don't know as well. And I want you to think a little bit wider still. And this is the practical challenge as a piece of music. Because the story today is about moving out beyond our boundaries and out of our comfort zones. And I'd like you to think about people who are further outside your range of friends and acquaintances. So think about your neighbours, people in your street that you don't know very well, the person who runs your local shop, your postman, your milkman, people that you've seen in Kingston, people that you see on your walk to work, maybe you don't know who they are. And as we listen to this, I'd like to challenge you, all of us actually, to just ask God, what can I do that will take me out of my comfort zone and bless that person? How can I connect with that person and show them the love of Jesus? It might be something very small, it might be something much larger. And honestly, if you don't know what that thing is, ask God. Just say, Holy Spirit, what can I do to get out of my comfort zone this week and bless that person that I don't know very well? Maybe that person I don't feel very comfortable with. Because that's what's happening in the story today. And the song is about that story as well. So that's my challenge for you as we listen to the story. I really want to encourage you to do that. And that's what I'm going to do too. So thank you, Richard.
Oh, there was a woman in the Bible days. She had been sick so very long. But she heard that Jesus was passing by, so she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, what are you trying to do? She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. She cried, oh, until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, somebody touch me. She said, it was I who just want to touch the hem of your garment. I know I be made whole right now. She stood there crying, oh, 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 and oh, 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 and oh, oh, oh. Said, if I could just touch the hem of your garment, I know I'll be made whole right now. Thanks,
Sally. It's the Bartlett's dream team who are doing our readings today. Ken is reading from Lamentations and Liz from the Gospel according to Mark. So the writer of Lamentations encourages readers to hold on to the belief in God's goodness and to wait quietly for God's mercy to be revealed, even in the face of extreme suffering. And then from Mark, the usual technique in Mark's gospel of two blocks of stories interwoven together. The crowd presses around And then in the backdrop, we get the father's desperation and the story of a woman's shame. So let's listen for the word of God, which Ken and Liz Bartlett will read to us.
Can you read it? Ask.
Yeah. Sorry, Leslie, could you tell me what lesson I'm reading? I wasn't aware I was to read.
Oh, sorry. Maybe is it a different Liz? Sorry. Okay. Nobody else is waving at me. So Ken, did you think you were reading?
Yes.
Excellent. I thought you are reading Mark 5, verses 21 to 43, Liz. I'm sorry about that.
Quite all right. We'll find it quickly and then
well, it'll come up on the screen anyway, won't it?
21. Mark, what is it? Mark 5.
Mark 5, verse 21. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 to 33. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it. To put one's mouth to the dust, there may yet be hope. To give one's cheek to the smiter and be filled with insults. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone.
I'll read it off the screen, okay? No, don't worry. Jairus' daughter and the woman who touched Jesus' cloak. Jesus went back across to the other side of the lake. There at the lakeside, a large crowd gathered. It'll be in a different translation, I think. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered round him, and he was by the lake. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, if I but touch his clothes, I will be made well. Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me'? he looked all round to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat.
Warm greetings to you from Kingston at Reformed Church. It's great that you're taking the time to watch this video. Can I suggest that maybe you give it a bit of time before and after, a bit of silence, a bit of prayer? That would be good. If you want to join us on Zoom, that would be lovely. The readings that I'm going from today is Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 23. And if you find it in a physical Bible without having to go to the front for the index, then give yourself 10 extra points. And Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. We avert our eyes. We don't want to see blood that has flowed for years. We don't want to see sick children. We don't want to see desperate parents. We avert our eyes from cities that are destroyed. We shield ourselves with phony religion, a false world view that says it's their fault. They did it, so it can't happen to us. We shield our eyes from cities crammed where isolation from the virus would be a luxury. We shield our eyes from people packed into boats trying to find safety. We avert our eyes from hungry people, those desperate for a home and clean water. And at one level, quite right too. It's not helpful for any one of us to end up mentally ill by becoming over anxious about others. It's not healthy to spend all your time watching the news after news. There's a certain element of voyeurism in that. Yet we do have to hear, we do have to pray, we have to act for justice as we can, to speak out as we are able, and not to pretend that it, however uncomfortable, it is not real. The crowd, though, did not see the woman. What was she doing there? She should have been isolated from society, and yet she pushed through the crowd. The view of menstruation within Judaism in that era meant that women spent their time away from others and then ritually cleansed themselves, said prayers, and then came back into the community, back to their families. Women with a continual loss of blood had lost the rhythm of life. They couldn't marry. They couldn't be part of the spiritual life of their family. No wonder she sneaks up on Jesus. She should not have been there. And before any of us scoff and patronise those who've different views of a different time, there are diseases for us that bring additional dis-ease with them. Flows of blood, continence, growths in certain parts of the body. They don't get the weight and they don't get the social acceptance that they deserve. Even the fundraising, they don't get that either. So not only does the person with bowel cancer have a life-threatening condition, they also have to tell people about bits of their body they would rather not talk about, certainly not over dinner. Our squeamishness doesn't help. This woman has been kept outside because of a view of female blood, which is ancient and isolating. Outside because she is ill, but also because of the particular illness and the social consequences. And we too need to watch for that. Yet somehow reports of Jesus had reached her. To us, the story reads like magic, clothing as an extension of the personality. She's trembling in Matthew's gospel. It implies fear based on her being called out as she's been found out. Here in Mark, she is trembling with delight. She has realised what has happened to her. Jesus calls her daughter, and we move from the magic into faith. Her faith has saved her. And it's more than physically healed her, but restored her to society. Be free of your affliction looks forward rather than repeating the cure. The child and the woman receive healing and they receive health. We love stories that have a happy ending. The thing is fixed. The story goes into the dark wood, but bursts out into the light. Hurrah! We don't want to hear about the story where somebody goes into the dark wood and they never come out again. How would it have been if we'd heard those stories earlier? The woman with the flow of blood when she was outside of society, or the child becoming increasingly ill and no one able to do anything about it. How would we have viewed those stories then? Could we have stuck with them? Is it bad taste to tell people about your pain? Are we allowed to be sad? Are we Christian people allowed to have contemporary suffering, or is it not all been swallowed up by Jesus? So smile. In the passage from Lamentations, we have the happy ending, not the build-up. The build-up is the story of the destruction of the city, the execution of the leaders, and the removal of many into slavery. And the writer of Lamentations spends a long time detailing the suffering of the people. This passage is sort of midpoint in that book. For the writer of Lamentations, the question is asked, if God is responsible for this suffering, who do we turn to for help? The answer is the same Lord. Who alone is the foundation of our hope? And then the great words come tumbling out. God is steadfast love. God is constancy. And the writer also says that suffering and adversity can be constructive and can build up, particularly the young. They build spiritual grit. God does not behave out of anger or of rage. It is all for our benefit. Which, let's be clear, is hard to believe when you're in the middle of it. although sometimes when we look back, we can admit it's true. We do learn big, important things during times of suffering. That's not to say we want it, but the best times are when we battle through together. The joy of arrival after we've been through a long, punishing walk is so much greater than when we return home after we've been wambling round the block. The story in Mark is the story of two desperate people, not one. Jairus is the president of the synagogue, and he goes for help for some strange new preacher that he's heard can work miracles. The president of the synagogue was the one who had general oversight over the buildings and over the services in the synagogue. He was a person who decided who should say the prayers, who should read the scriptures, and who should translate for the people. And each synagogue had their own person. They were, or they became, someone with real social standing. Jairus is desperate for the sake of his daughter. Interestingly, in terms of storytelling, it's a daughter, not a son. And the message comes that the child is dead. Jesus tells the father to have faith. He goes and raises her to life. Is the child dead? Are the words to be understood literally? Let's be clear. If God is God, and if God has created the universe and created each one of us, then raising somebody up from the dead is all in a day's work. The only surprising thing is that this is the only raising of the dead that we get in the Gospel according to Mark. That the Messiah, the Son of God, the Christ, raised one person from the dead according to the Gospel according to Mark. What? Once? Couldn't you do better than that? One that wants you to hear the Messiah speak. That's the sort of Messiah who only raises once somebody from the dead. Not somebody who wants to get involved in magic tricks or wants to bribe you or force you into the kingdom with those tricks. My parents-in-law were always very indulgent and generous grandparents. Sweets, ice cream, always available. And my father-in-law used to talk about Hannah and Alice and say that their affection for him was cupboard love. Not so. But you can buy a lot of affection with some delicious ice cream like you get in Seton Delville. But Jesus was avoiding all of that. The miracle of the raising of the girl is done in private. Few disciples and the parents of the child, a lamb, get up. Little girl, get up, in the Aramaic. It's not a magic formula, it's tender words that we can recognise. And the onlookers are astounded, literally blown away. The child's cure is not to be announced to those who do not understand. It is not to be used as leverage to drag people into the kingdom of God. And the thing to say, and the word of warning to all of us, the final thing that happens in this story is that Jesus tells the parents to feed the child. Practical care is needed too. It is not enough to wait for a miracle. We must eat, we must exercise, we must hydrate, we must sleep. It is no use abusing our bodies that God has given us and then praying that somehow we will be healed. To remember that wholesome nutrition and self-care, that is medicine too, and God is at work in them. Amen.
So let us be still. And let us pray. Let us pray for those who outwardly appear to have it all together, but who inwardly live with heartache. That they would have the courage to reach out. Let's pray for those who would never stand out in the crowd. But those who know that they have to make their presence felt. Give them courage to reach out. To pray for those who feel like giving up, to remember that they must press through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. Let's pray for those who have children who are sick. Pray for children facing adult challenges. Let's pray for all those families where somebody has reached out for intimacy inappropriately and been found out this week. And those who will suffer as a consequence, the children, the parents, the rest of the family. Partners. Let's pray for all those who have received decimating news this week. Lord, help us to be people that show others where you are. So we pray for ourselves, bringing our personal and particular needs, and knowing that we are people who need to be held and taught by you. Give us the courage to reach out. Give us the grace to be held and to be helped. Lord, we pray. Amen. Some notices. Today, Sally is leading a nature walk, Messy Church Outdoors. That will happen, gather please at 3 o'clock at the fish ponds. Everybody welcome. Sally's number is around if you want to check out details with her. On Monday, it's meditation, which Stu will be doing. I'll send you details of that. And the soiree this week on Thursday, it's a food and drink quiz, and that will be the last one for a while. We've also had two big bits of information this week. First thing is Christian Aid have issued an urgent appeal for the whole issue of global hunger. Over 30 million people in 20 countries are teetering on the brink of famine. 30 million people in 20 countries are teetering on the brink of famine. So I'll send you the details if you feel called to make a donation. I'll show you how to do that. That information will be there. And then specifically, there is a group of young people, Young Christian Climate Network, who are walking from where the meetings just happened in the southwest, in Cornwall. They're walking up to Glasgow. It's a relay to draw attention to the whole issue of climate change, and they are looking for people to walk alongside these young activists, offer accommodation, people who be helping with detailed route planning, anybody involved in on-call support, meeting and greeting, just getting there and waving at them and giving them lunch. I'll send the details out of that, and if you can help in any way, please do so. You might have noticed Hatton Lim, who's with us this morning. Hatton will give you a wave. Everybody give Hatton a wave. Hatton is, if we're in the building, I would be dragging her up and making her say hello to us all. She's just waiting with things around a visa and will be coming to be our new organist. Hurrah! Good to see your picture. And we're asked to continue to pray, please, for Katie Frost and for Ray Taylor and Leslie Carnegie. The good news is that Rosemary Moore is out of hospital. Fabulous news. And best wishes to Abby, who has just started a new job. And two final things. A date for your diary, please. 2nd of October. Put it in your diary, 2nd of October. The plan is it's going to be Kingston United Reformed Church's big day, out or in, depends. 2nd of October is going to be a day where we're going to just do a whole range of stuff. So there'll be singing and there'll be dancing, there'll be eating, there'll be talking, there'll be praying, there'll be listening to music. There'll be an opportunity for a lot of us to make a contribution and a range of activities. So put it in your diary, 2nd of October. And just as we're sort of getting through the hump of this thing, heading towards the close to the end of it, we've decided that July is going to be the month of jocularity. So get ready for a joke every morning. The July jocularity. Get ready for some daftness to start you on your way in the day. If you would like to donate money to the work of Kingston United Reformed Church, we would be glad to find a way to facilitate that for you. But for now, I will dedicate the offering of money and the offering of bread and wine, and then we will move to our communion. So let us pray. Nurturing God, each day we witness untold miracles that are a testament of your love. Some spectacular miracles, reverently remind us of Jesus' healing miracles. Others are everyday miracles that are quiet and soft, like a gentle parent's whisper, filled with beauty and wonder. We prayerfully ask that the gifts that we offer of ourselves and our time, of our money, of bread and wine, would be used to reach those who are needing to experience the miracle of your love. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the living God, in the name of the victorious Christ, in the name of the mysterious Spirit, come to the table where bread is broken and wine is poured, and receive the life of God, share the victory of Christ, and enter into the mystery of the Spirit. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul concerning the Lord's Supper. The tradition I passed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night he was being betrayed, he took bread, and having given thanks, broke it and said, "Take this and eat it. It is my body broken for you. Go on doing this to recall my presence with you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This means a new relationship established by the shedding of my blood. Go on doing this whenever you drink it to recall my presence with you. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes in his glory." So in the name of the Lord Jesus, we take bread and we take wine, and as he gave thanks and prayed, so we pray. Let's pray. Thank you, God. How can we not thank you for the measure of your love we have seen in Jesus? How can we not join with your whole church on earth and with those who have trusted and triumphed in Christ's name before us to sing your praise for the whole world to hear? How can we not trust you and follow you to the edge of time and the threshold of eternity, where we shall find your fullness and enter it and join in universal praise to you forever? Until then, Lord, let our weak faith and our feeble praise suffice. Receive us as we are and use us to show women and men the wonder and promise of faith and the immeasurable height and depth and length and breadth of your love and your truth. Be honored and praised here and everywhere, now and forever, and be present with us through this bread and this wine, that this bread would be for us as the body of Christ, and this wine as the blood of Christ. And as we eat and drink, we would know ourselves united with you, united with those who have gone before us in the faith, and with our brothers and sisters all around the world. Thanks be to you, our God, now and forever. Amen. He took bread, blessed it, broke it, This is my body, he said. It is broken for you. He took the cup. Wine poured out, a sign and a symbol of blood that would be shed. This is my blood, he said, shed for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let's pray. Life-giving Jesus, to a father and mother in anguish, you bring life and laughter. To a woman drained of energy, you bring health and vigor. To people who have ceased to hope, you bring joy and wonder. Life-giving Jesus, come to us when we have lost our hope. Come to us when we no longer live with joy. Come to us when our energies are sapped. Come to us when suffering overwhelms us. Come to us when we fear for our children's future. Come to us and touch us. In your healing power, may we rise to live in your light and rejoice in your love. Lord, we pray. Amen. Our final hymn is Be Thou My Vision, and after that, you're most welcome to stay for the breakout rooms. There'll be a worship in the building at 11:30, as there is worship in the building at 5:00. Tomorrow, if you need me, give me a call. I'll be glad to hear. Just have a chat. Most welcome. So the hymn, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit, be with us and those who we love, wherever they are. Amen. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, musicians. Stick around for a breakout room if you can. Good to see you. Happy to speak to you tomorrow. Any day, but you know, tomorrow.